Murphysboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Hip hip hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. Got a really great show today. It's going to be very entertaining, informative, and two of the nicest, sweetest people you'll ever run into, and talented, too. And we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat, and that 7 out of 10 Americans suffer a hearing loss after the age of 50. Now there is a way to restore your hearing, and you need to give Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat a call today. Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat has been Rutherford County's trusted provider of taking care of all the coughing, sneeze, and stuffed-up feelings for almost two decades. Their team of caring physicians, audiologists, nurses, and administrators are standing ready for you and your family so you can improve your style of healthy living. They also have a mobile hearing unit, yes, a mobile hearing unit that will actually come to your home and diagnose and fit you with a hearing device right in the comfort of your living room. Call Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat today at 848-9265. That's 848-9265. Well, we have Mr. Brad Ewing on and his wife, Casey. Or we have Casey on and her husband, Brad. However, whichever way you want to look at it. And actually, Brad's real name is John Denver. A lot of people don't realize that. John Denver is still with us. And you are so talented, Brad. And the last time that you were on my show, you sang something of your own. Mm-hmm. And I said, he sounds exactly like John Denver. There's something wrong with it. I've never heard anybody with that style of voice before besides John. So how about giving us a little bit, or no, just give us the whole thing.
Okay.
Country Road.
All right, here we go.
Because that's one of my favorites.
Now, disclaimer, I'm not John Denver, but here we go. It's a good song. Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country road, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Country road, all my memories gather round her. Miner's lady, stranger to blue water. Dark and dusty, painted on the sky. Misty taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Country road, I hear her voice in the morning hour. She calls me, the radio reminds me of my home far away. Driving down the road, I get a feeling that I should have been home yesterday. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Country roads, take me home. Country roads.
Great job.
Thank
you. If there was an audience here, they would be standing and clapping. I love it. I love your talent.
Thank you.
You guys are so committed to so many positive things. You give back to the community. You teach classes in church and things like that, and you deal with young people. I know that you guys have been that way most of your life. And Casey, you grew up in a family with a pastor and a church. And from what I can understand, knowing all the people I know that have had fathers that were pastors or leaders of the church, it's not an easy existence for a young person, is it?
No, it's not.
And you wrote one book that I could not put down, which is rare for me because there are times when my attention span, it changes from moment to moment. But I started reading your book, God is Enough, and through all the trials and all the hardships that you had to deal with some of the things in your life. And I was so impressed with how you related to it. And you mentioned the book of Job. And I was comparing what you were going through with Job. And you did too. I mean, you drew strength from that. Mm-hmm. Is that a continuous thing with you as far as being able to relate to anything that may be a negative thing in your life and you turn it around and make it a positive?
Yeah, I think Brad and I both from the very beginning after Jake had died, there's another passage of scripture where Jacob is actually wrestling with an angel, and he says he's not going to quit until God blesses him, and he ends up even walking with a limp after that. But in the midst of that, God did bless him, and what our prayer after was just to use this for, even though we are walking with a limp, but to use this for his glory for it. And I mm-hmm. think even through the midst of all of that, we can walk away and see that he did that mm-hmm. and that he's used it to, well, I mean, why waste it? It's happened. We can't prevent it. We can't prevent it. We can't change that. So now we just want to be able to use it for those that are kind of maybe in a situation, not the same, but are walking through something that just says, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I don't, I didn't expect this. I didn't want this. I didn't, I've woke up one day and our whole life has changed. Mm-hmm. And how do we continually walk through it? And I think it's more that we're just a face of someone that's walked through something that they didn't think they could have. And know mm-hmm. that God did walk us through it. And then so they can see that whatever it is that you're walking through or someone else is, you know, mm-hmm. that this, we're all going to encounter situations and things happen that we didn't want to happen or we would have prevented if we could. And we just pray that that's what God does through that and through us, that he'll use that.
Some of the things that happened in your lives were, I would consider, in the catastrophic level. They really were. And not many people, they'll draw up in a shell and they'll be thinking, you know, why me? Why did this happen? What did I do? And it becomes, it actually basically destroys their lives. Mm-hmm. Now, you went the opposite direction. And as you got, is it hard for you, both of you, to relate some of those things to the people that you're sharing with? Because I think that's a lot of your strength as far as dealing with people, is how you've been able to handle these situations.
Well, I think, I mean, in the end, the bottom line is pain is pain.
Yeah.
And ours might have been a little bit deeper and more significant and mm-hmm. Lasted longer. Mm-hmm. But when we hurt, we all hurt. And yeah. it doesn't matter over what it is. It's still that deep pain that either God, we're going to allow God to heal, or mm-hmm. we're going to get mad and like you said, hole up. Mm-hmm. The beauty of where I was continually in Job was that, you know, through most of the book of Job, Job is complaining and crying and whining and yelling and screaming. And
with good reason.
And he did. Yeah. God allows yeah. him to do that for yeah. a long, you know, for a while. And then, in the end, you know, it's like he questioned God, why? And then in the very end, God never answers his question. He never says why. He allowed it, but he showed them who he was. Mm-hmm. And his magnificent power in showing them who he was, he shows that, you know, if I can handle this whole earth, and I created earth, and I tell the moon when to rise and the sun when to set, and where I stop the waters on the beach, I think I've got your life in control. Mm-hmm. And I think when finally Job got to the point where he realized, you know, God's not going to say why, but he's going to show me who he is. And then in the end, Job said, I've seen God like I've never seen him before. And I think we can both attribute to the fact that in the, you know, by the end, or still now, I mean, I don't know that it'll ever fully end, but we've seen God the way we've never been able to, or would have been able to before.
And you've done it as a pair, as you've handled it together, which I think is probably one of the toughest things to do, because people do have different mindsets on how I'm going to handle this particular situation, or can I, or we're such a blaming society right now. I mean, everybody wants somebody to be accountable for something that's going on. But the positive way that you guys are able to deal with other people and let them know that where the strength comes from, and that you do have the ability to rise up above anything that happens to you.
Yeah, I think one of the, talking about the togetherness, we went to see a counselor shortly after, and one of the things she told us that really, because, I mean, I had grieved, but it was like grandparents and kind of circle of life stuff. You know, you're used to that. You expect, you know, older people are going to die before you kind of thing, but you lose a child, it's like, I've never done that before. How do we even deal with this? And she told us, you know, I don't need to tell her how to grieve, and she doesn't need to tell me how to grieve. There's going to be times where I'm happier and she's sad, and she's happier and I'm sad. It's like you got to be sensitive to each other and let each other grieve how you're going to grieve. So that was huge for us, because we had never grieved together, you know, especially over a child. It was like it was new territory for us. So that was very helpful, just going to a counselor that had been there, done that, and gave us very wise counsel. You know, that was huge for us. I mean, I don't know, without her help, it would have been a very long road. Longer than it was, you know.
That was one of the more impressive things that I got out of the book, was that you were still confident in him, and he was confident in you, the way you were handling it, even though the communications really wasn't there sometimes.
Right.
You just had to let the other one grow in the direction they needed to go. And I think that was... Tell the people what we're talking about, what you had to go through, the two of you. And I know that
she's looking at me. Guess I'm sharing. It was 2001. We were in New Mexico serving at a church. There, life was good. We had great friends and were loving life. Had two boys, Drew, who was five, Jake, who was almost two. Came home from church one afternoon from lunch with friends, and I said, hey, she was driving. I said, leave the car running. I got to run up to the church real quick. And so I got out of the car, helped the kids out. They were running up to the patio, you know, the front door. I walked behind the car, backed out, and I backed over something. I didn't know what it was. I was like, we didn't hear anything on the way in. So I backed up and realized in a split second, Jake had followed me while she was unlocking the door. I didn't see him. I ran over him. The ambulance came, and at the hospital, you know, they came in and told us he didn't make it. And so I mean, I gave you the very quick version of that, but it was like, just a blur. I mean, you know, you're like, this happens to other people that you get a prayer request for from across the United States or whatever, you know, that you don't know, and never had it happened to anybody I knew or close or family or anything. And
yeah, you're dealing with other people's problems.
Yeah, right.
Time.
And so life was good. It rocked our world. I mean, and so from that point on, you know, you live a new normal. You know, our son's in heaven and we long to see him again. But life goes on, you know, And we've learned so much through that and still learning things through that. And hopefully, you know, like she said, you just ask God to use that in a way that would honor him and help other people that are going through different things, you know.
And part of the growing for you guys, and I know Casey, by reading the book, you would people would reach out to you that you had a great deal of respect for. A lot of the ladies would send you passages and in the Bible and talk about things, but none of this was easy. I mean, you had to somehow reach out above all this, but you did use some of the things that they had offered you to get you back on track.
Yeah, I mean, it's there was no easy moment, I think, of any of it. It's making that decision and deciding, you know, that we're going to, first of all, not blame each other. You know, that's a decision. I think so many times we feel like whatever we feel, we just have to go with it, you know. Yeah. And just because we feel something doesn't mean it's what's really going on. And that's where, you know, God's word did come in and passages came in where, you know, sometimes we feel things that doesn't necessarily mean it's true. And believing that God is good, you know, even when something like this has happened. Mm-hmm. But if we don't know that and that God's word's not pouring in, sometimes I like to describe it like a coin. There's two sides of a coin, what we feel and what we know to be true. Mm-hmm. We know God is good and we know what he, his plans for us are to prosper us and not to harm us. But what we feel at that moment doesn't feel like that. So we have to pour in his word to be true when we feel something that's not true. Mm-hmm. And that's that battle that occurs in something like this, is we're fighting what we feel to be going on, but what we know to be true about our God. And that's going to be that battle that we're going to, no matter what you're going through, that you're going to have to battle out what we feel about the situation based on what we know God is, God's word says about a situation. And I think, like you said, we live in a feeling-oriented society. We want to blame somebody. We want to everything. If you feel it, then go with it. And that's not necessarily the truth.
Faith is a strong thing, and it's what really gets you through all the trials that are seemingly almost impossible to go by. And when you were talking about in the book about how people were trying to relate to you to make you somehow make you feel better or do something special in your life, not all of it was positive. They were trying to be positive. They were trying to help you. And that's a lesson to all of us. I mean, when we go to funerals, we go to hospitals, and we deal with people who are having special problems that are very much devastating to them and their lives and things. It's hard to find the right words and the right way to talk to them, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, looking back, you see that they were people just want an easy answer for things. We want to be able to explain God or be able to explain why something happened. And you can't always do that. And so, you know, that it was always, well, God's good, you know, and he's going to get good out of this. And, you know, in the midst of that pain, we were like, you know, we didn't care if he was going to get good out of it. We were hurting. Now, looking back, we can see how he did do that. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of it, that was not something we were longing for or even wanting. It was like, you know, I just want to be, you know, there's a country music song. I just want to be mad for a little while. And sometimes we feel that way. We just want to be mad for a little while. Sing it for me. and that's sometimes our response. And that was back again. That was the way Job was. He was mad for a little while, and then he allowed God to come in and change his mad.
When you go through terrible times, it's easy to lose your faith. It really is, because everybody handles those things different. And I always think back, and through the Bible, I think it all kind of relates anywhere from Old Testament to New Testament from time to time. And the thing that really got me, and even as a kid, and I remember, was Abraham, and he was told to sacrifice his son. And that doesn't, you know, where is the love in that? He's told to sacrifice his son. Now, how many of us today were told to do that would even contemplate it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so different. It's alien to us, really. But then later on, Jesus comes and he is sacrificed for all of us. Mm-hmm. So it kind of relates, but in ways it's very difficult to accept some of those things. It really is, because it's hard for us to understand the way God understands. In fact, it's very difficult.
On the deleted scenes of a movie I was watching, but this guy was talking about, I think it was Bruce Almighty or something like that, and he was talking about Lance Armstrong, right, and how he'd done so many, you know, great things and accomplished so many things, and but he had cancer and all these things. And then it was like, but you see as God, I can't paint a beautiful picture without the dark colors.
Yeah.
And that's very, you know, deep to me. It was like, man, without the pain in our lives, God is creating each of our lives like this masterpiece. And if he doesn't add the dark colors, it's not going to be the picture that he wants for us to point to him. I mean, everything that happens can be used, if we allow it to be, to point to him and his goodness and his faithfulness, and how we respond to grief, how we respond to bad things can point to, you know, faith in the Lord, which ultimately brings him more honor. You know, I think that's the point of it. And the dark colors are used for the painting that we're painting for the Lord.
We want everything perfect.
Yeah, we want all the good colors.
Yes.
You know.
And you cannot appreciate those. They're just become a habit to you. Yeah. I mean, just having everything perfect, and then all of a sudden a little bump in the road comes, and it just changes our whole lives. Mm-hmm. As humans, we're not that complicated, are we? We're pretty simple all the way down the line. Now, as everybody knows, Brad is a musician and an entertainer, and I know that you have written some songs. Have you got anything available for us that you're going to pick and sing?
Sure.
That's not John Denver to some.
Sure.
Although I love the John Denver stuff.
I play this one's kind of a love song about Casey here.
Uh-oh.
And it's just
here
like
we go.
When
here
you
we go.
It's
Romeo and Juliet, yeah, right?
There you go. It's called Come Home to You, and it's just like when you're having kind of a bad day, but the premise is, as long as I can come home to you, it's all good. So
all right.
It goes like this. Started off when I got up, I broke my favorite coffee mug, and I lost my keys. I got to work but I was late, it's gonna be one of those days, or so it seems. So it seems. But as long as I come home to you, as long as there's a little room to hold you tight, I'll be alright. And as long as we don't have to leave till the morning comes, you're there with me, so warm and close. I don't wanna go. There ain't a day I can't make it through, as long as I come home to you. Another weekend playing songs, I love the fans but the nights are long when you're back home. On my way but out of gas, the clock is slow as the hours pass, and I'm all alone, I'm all alone. But as long as I come home to you, as long as there's a little room to hold you tight, I'll be alright. And as long as we don't have to leave till the morning comes, you're there with me, so warm and close. I don't wanna go, but there ain't a day I can't make it through, as long as I come home to you. You're the reason I keep moving, and you're the reason I keep choosing to come home soon. As long as I come home to you, as long as there's a little room to hold you tight, I'll be alright. And as long as we don't have to leave till the morning comes, you're there with me, so warm and close. I don't wanna go. There ain't a day I can't make it through, as long as I come home to you.
Great, great.
Thank you.
And we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Brad and Casey.
Bud's Tire Pros is part of the nation's premier network of independent, locally owned and operated tire dealers. You'll get reliable service and better prices in addition to great brands like Michelin and BF Goodrich Tires through their exclusive promotions and rebates you won't find anywhere else. All tires and automotive service, including brakes and alignments, are backed by the nationwide warranty, including free roadside assistance with every purchase. For local service you can trust, visit Bud's Tire Pros, located in Murfreesboro, or call 896-TIRE. That's 896-8473.
You can get non-medical care at home for you and your loved one. Just visit athomecaretn.com.
My name is Mary Arnold. I am the administrative assistant here at Home Care. I really love my job because I get to be interactive with the clients and the caregivers. I'm the first person they meet when they walk in the door and the last person they see when they leave. It's a very nice, relaxing place to work.
Here's Melissa Warren with At Home Care.
The one thing that I think really sets At Home Care apart is that we understand we may not be the answer for everyone that phones us, but our goal is to help everyone that phones us, give them direction, give them information, maybe lead them to where they do need to call to get the help they need.
For that personal, non-medical care at your home, contact the professionals at homecaretn.com.
GPS Refurbishing, Middle Tennessee's metal refurbishing and coating experts since 1985. GPS Refurbishing can bring new life to your old, worn out, even damaged metal treasures using our proven metal refurbishing processes, including powder coating. This process bakes on vivid, durable colors and is much better than wet spray paints. Bring antiques, outdoor and pool furniture, wheels, tools, farm equipment, toys, metal shelving, trailers, aluminum boats, and more back to life. GPS Refurbishing, 895-0816. GPS Refurbishing, 810 Old Salem Highway, just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard.
E smoke 'em if you e got 'em. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. Electronic cigarettes are becoming the hot new way for people that smoke to quit. The devices are even popular with teenagers as they come in various flavors, such as soft drinks and candy. But be advised that if you purchase for or sell e-cigarettes to underage people, you are breaking the law. You have to be at least 18 to have anything to do with e-cigarettes. Project Reality Check is a new program for juveniles that will hopefully allow them to see the consequences of negative choices in Rutherford County. Rutherford County Sheriff's Office Sergeant Bob Weeks is helping to teach the class.
The program is about a two-hour visit to the county jail for those students that are, for lack of a better term, taking a wrong path. And it's an opportunity for parents to bring their child down to our jail, be given a tour, and have a conversation with some inmates that are looking at doing serious time. We have found some inmates that are willing to cooperate with the program, and they are going to explain the wrong turns they've taken.
You can still participate. Just call 904-3066. By the way, Read to Succeed is in need of volunteers to not only teach adults how to read, but also to help out with the community.
When we do our family literacy nights, we have to have volunteers because we actually feed the families that come that night, and we have to have volunteers to help with the food.
Volunteer training dinner will be held January 28th at Read to Succeed. For more information, visit readtosucceed.org. For more news, go to WGNSradio.com or like us on Facebook.com/WGNSradio. This is WGNS News.
Brought to you by
Kestner Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad, across from the Chevy dealer.
At our office, one of our number one goals is to get you better faster and keep you better longer. For a free consultation, give me a call at 895-1253.
That update brought to you by Radio Shack. Trade in 5 working portable electronics and get $25 credit towards a Fitbit Flex tablet or more at Radio Shack through February 28th in stores. Details at RadioShack.com, void where prohibited.
Weather Eye.
We see mostly cloudy skies here for this afternoon, high into the mid-40s. Winds out of the south around 15 to 20 miles per hour, and winds gusting as high as 30. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 28.
Premier Six Theater on Broad and Jackson Heights, showing all of your favorite movies. Call their hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Popcorn pop fresh daily. Their movie hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Premier Six on Broad and Jackson Heights.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And Welcome back with Brad and Casey. And we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Metal Max Roofing and Siding. And it's located at 900 Captain Joe Fulgham Drive. And that's just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro. And metal roofs are not only beautiful, but they're resistant to wind damage, roof rust, and some are less expensive than asphalt shingles. They offer factory direct pricing so you can buy your roofing and siding materials straight from the manufacturer without the middleman, and that's right here in Murfreesboro. Go by and see their friendly staff today and let them show you over 20 different colors of Metal Max roofing and siding. Give them a call today at 494-1693, 494-1693, on the website www.metalmax.com. Well, let's see. We keep changing the moods in here, so let's get back to some good music.
All right. This is called Got Enough, and it's kind of the song that partners
it is.
The book.
Almost, yeah.
And so I wanted to write a song that was that could go with the book. And, you know, the book is very, serious.
It's
stuff
powerful,
happened,
really.
You know, yeah. Kind of in, you know, deep. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to kind of bring it with a light song and just kind of, encapsulate? Is that a word?
Yeah, it is.
Capture. That's probably easier, more my language. Yeah. Capture the meaning of the book in a light way. So it's called Got Enough. What's that you're carrying? It looks a little heavy to me. And your soul is wearing thin. I just can't let it be. Something you should know. Gotta learn to let go. 'Cause his arms are big enough, wide enough, strong enough to hold you. He's tough enough, wise enough, strong enough to hold you. He has got enough to hold you. Why don't you let him? You've been gone far too long, shouldering the weight of the world, and it's time to come back home. Yes, it is. He's waiting on your return. Something you should know. We gotta learn to let go. 'Cause his arms are big enough, wide enough, strong enough to hold you. He's tough enough, wise enough, strong enough to hold you. He has got enough to hold you. Why don't you let him? Yeah. Something you should know. We gotta learn to let go. 'Cause his arms are big enough, wide enough, strong enough to hold you. He's tough enough, wise enough, strong enough to hold you. He has got enough to hold you. Got enough to hold you. Got enough to hold you. Why don't you let him? Yeah. Ooh, why don't you let him? Let him hold you now.
Great job. Great job. Now, do you sing, do you get to sing much in your ministry? And tell everybody where you guys are.
We both serve at New Vision Baptist in Murfreesboro, and we came here, I guess, end of June. Casey accepted a position to do women's ministry. And then I didn't have a job. We moved here. And then so we just felt like the Lord was moving us out here. I was like, well, he'll take care of it. You know, he'll show me what I'm supposed to do. Ended up working on the facilities team there for, I guess, 5 months or whatever. And then now I'm helping in the men's ministry and doing small group stuff with her. And so it's a blast. We love it.
Now, how do you find the people in Middle Tennessee in the Murfreesboro area?
Love it. It's home. It really feels like home.
You guys have gone from out in the wilderness to the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
It really, like, quickly, when we came out here to visit, you know, yeah, I guess it was in May, middle of May, and just kind of met some people at the church, and it was like, we just went back home, we're praying. It was like, man, if they offer the job, we're going. I mean, this is, we love it there, you know, and the people, the church, the area is beautiful. I mean, it's close to Nashville, and it just feels like home. You know?
Well, you're wrong. Nashville is close to us.
There you go. Nashville's close to Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
Yeah. And you guys are really a very positive influence, because I've heard a number of people tell me how much you guys have influenced them, which is amazing, because you're both young. When I look at you guys, I mean, you're babies. I mean, you really are. Now, Casey, tell me what inspired you to write the book. And were you writing the book to try to kind of get through all the things that you were doing and putting it down, or did you find another purpose that maybe this might be able to reach other people?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the beginning it was more for me to get down and see the whole picture. Mm-hmm. I think often we see little bits and pieces, but when I could look and write kind of from the beginning to the end, and I saw how God prepared all of our family and the different things that he did to prepare us and to put us in certain situations and with certain people around us that kind of insulated some of that, it was good to see it all like a big picture of it, to get to, you know, to see from beginning to end how he was, even though we didn't know what was coming, he was preparing us. And then, of course, I wanted to have something in hand that we could give to someone else to see what God did in our lives and to show that it's not just us that he wants to do it in. He wants to do it in everyone's life. And I think that's a lot why I do what I do. You know, often people say, well, I don't have that kind of faith. You know, I don't have that faith. And it's like, well, God's word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we all can have that faith. And, you know, in God's word, he gives us that. He says, I'll give you everything you need for life and godliness. And so we all have that opportunity to have the faith and to allow God to work in it. And that's why, you know, I teach women's Bible studies weekly. That's why I do that, is because we want that faith. How do we get that faith? In his word. And so that's my heart's cry now, of why I do what I do and why I wrote what I wrote, so that it's not, they see that it's not, it wasn't anything about us. It was what God did in our lives. And he wants to do it in all of our lives.
The book of Job is one of the most, it's inspiring and depressing at the same time. I guess I'm like most people. When I read something, I put myself in their place a lot of times. Then I get to feel how they feel. And your book was very similar. It can be depressing in a number of ways, but it is very inspiring in other ways. It teaches you how to go beyond what the human mind and the human body can stand and reach out with your faith. And that's really the basic strength of it all, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what we, you know, and first of all, we realize is that we live in a sinful world, and because of that, until we're all to heaven, it's never going to be what we want it here.
Yeah.
And we're never going to feel completely at home here, because this is not where we were created for. And so it's realizing that, I remember who said this, it was a quote of a man that says, once we know Christ, our life on this earth is the only piece of hell we'll ever experience. And so once we know Christ, because when we die, we'll ultimately be in heaven. And he says, I'll wipe away every tear. And it will be the perfect earth there. But to understand that this is it, this is the only piece of hell we'll experience is here on earth. And that one day he'll make it all right is kind of that charge that I wanted people to, I guess, get to read into our lives.
Well, and one of the things that stuck out to, one of the things that we learned is, or still learning, is to try to have a heavenly mindset and realize this is not our home. I believe 2 Corinthians talks about how we don't live for the temporal, but we live for eternal things. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to do because everything we see is temporal. But living by faith requires that you see beyond what you see with your eyes and you believe with your heart what is to come. And that's the hope we have in heaven. You know, the eternal things that we try to live for, that's the fight worth fighting. Mm-hmm. Because here, I mean, you know, we all know many rich people that are miserable. Yeah. You know, and it's not gonna, nothing here is going to do it. Mm-hmm. It comes from that relationship with God and the hope that we have that one day there will be no more death. Mm-hmm. One day there will be no more pain. There will be no more Alzheimer's. There will be no more saying mm-hmm. goodbye to our loved ones yeah. for those that know Christ. So that's the hope. That's the message that we want to share is without Christ, there is no hope. I mean, there's just despair. But with him, one day he's going to make it all right and it'll be here before we know it.
You know, yeah. one of the books that's very difficult for me to understand is Revelations. I mean,
Join the club.
I do not understand. It has been explained to me, I don't know how many times. I don't understand it. It is just, I don't know. You picture the images that it shows, and a lot of them are not friendly images at yeah. all. And all of us are just about ready to step in the wrong path from time to time because we're human and the human has desires that are very difficult to overcome. But Casey, do you and Brad ever do things outside the church in that particular setting and go out and do you go out and reach to other people and I guess I may be in the seminar type setting or something like that.
Yeah, we've done a few things together where he'll come and like sometimes lead. Oh, I don't know that we've both taught together, but he'll usually lead the worship.
I don't teach much. She's the talker.
Sing.
Yeah,
he sings.
I'd rather
talk.
Sing.
You draw the crowd
That's
in,
right.
And then Casey grabs them. All right.
But yeah, we got to do it. It was cool at the workhouse. Mm-hmm. with Pastor John Spurgeon, we got to go yeah. do that in December, or it was Thanksgiving. And I just played a couple songs, just encouraged them, and then she came up and shared our testimony, and it was a neat time. I mean, getting to do that together, you know, it's probably been a dozen things we've done together. It's really neat to get to do that.
The people that are locked up in jail or the workhouse or whatever, when they see things come in and they hear things from people like you, mm-hmm. it really does make a difference with them because I've seen it many, many times. Mm-hmm. And I know that Bernard Slandy over there does a great job. He's a hoot no matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
He can't cook worth a hoot.
Neither can I, so we're good.
So, but I would presume that there are people that would ask you guys to come out and give them a little bit of a testimony of what you guys have been through mm-hmm. and listen to it and how you've been able to overcome all this. And that's one of the more amazing things to me. The book that we're talking about is God is Enough. And Casey wrote it, I guess it was sometimes after the incident, wasn't it?
It's about, I think it was like 2009 probably she started working on the book. And I think... Mm-hmm. I guess we self-published it, so I guess it's was in 2010 maybe that, you know, we finished it mm-hmm. and just kind of had some friends edit it with us and just kind of a homegrown kind of deal, you know. She felt led to do it, and then, you know, probably years before, and then I just kept on her. I'm like, you need to write the book. It's good, you know, the way God, even before we were married, just things God, and it kind of takes back to really high school, you know, mm-hmm. Just her walk with God and the journey of that, and then we met and just kind of our journey together. Maybe I'm biased, but I just believe in it as a great message and of God's faithfulness.
Well, I do too.
And bringing your whole story around together. It's just really powerful.
Now you have names in your book of people that influenced you either positively or negatively. And really, as I read it, you were not being unkind to them. I think you were just trying to give what your feelings were at the time and how hard it was to accept some of the people that were really just trying to make you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I was in that role. So I came into some things with some already hurt feelings from the church world, and had
churches seen, can be cruel sometimes.
They can, you know. And from now I can look back and see that it was not hopefully evil intent. But the things that come across when that's my dad. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, all of a sudden one day I have a great friend that we've been friends for a long time, and then they can't hang around with our family anymore based on a decision my dad had made. Well, when you're 16, you don't understand that.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it now, but I can see it from a different point of view, you know. Mm-hmm. So coming into that, it was like there was this church world that had very strong opinions about things that my dad had done and decisions that he had made that they didn't like. And then this tragedy happens, and all of a sudden they want to speak into my life, and I don't want anything to do with them. So it was me having to kind of wrap God's grace for them and for me at that same moment, you know, that their intent at that time was just to be caring in the midst of a tragic situation, regardless of my prior feelings, you know, for them. It was just kind of dealing with all those things and realizing that, you know, we all have those things that we are. I mean, I say things probably 10 times a day that I shouldn't have said, you know. It's just
we all
God's
do.
Grace for them and for me too.
And we learned, you know, when somebody's going through something, silence is golden, and less is more, you know. I had a buddy, Josh, we were college roommates and just great friends, and he was there in town with us, you know.
He was in the book.
He was in the book, and he just, I mean, you know, still one of my best friends, and he didn't have to say a whole lot. He didn't really say a whole lot. He just kind of was there, and, you know, we walked from one house to another miles, you know, that day of the accident, and he was just like, we didn't say anything. I just remember him being there, and it was just like, that meant the world to me, you know, that he was just there. I knew he probably had a lot of things he wanted to say, but he didn't feel like he had to say it. He was just my friend.
I think sometimes we feel like we have to explain God to people. Mm-hmm. You know, well, this probably happened for this, or this might have happened for this. And we try to come up with reasons, or if this happened, then he is going to get good this way. Or Jake might not have been a Christian, and so he had to prevent. You know, we're trying to explain God. We can't explain God. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the people that probably meant the most to us was their presence was there without a lot of explanation. Mm-hmm. But their presence was there. I mean, Josh, he probably picked up 500 people from the airport and took them back. That's all weekend long, you know, for things like that. Mm-hmm. People dropped stuff off and coffee. And I remember the Papa John's guy delivered pizza to us. You know, he called and said, what's your favorite pizza? And it came often, you know, and just things like that that just meant the world to us. And they dropped stuff off for the kids and games. And one of my best friends, Megan Warren, at that time, we went shopping one day, like 2 days after, because I needed to feel normal. I just walked around the mall looking at things, because all of a sudden nothing felt real anymore, and I just needed normalcy. I needed to just walk around and feel like I was still doing what I would have done the week before. So it's stuff like that that just spoke volumes to us without speaking a word.
Did you get any feedback at all from some of the people that were in your book? And I'm sure that there was some kind of feedback. You're looking at Brad.
I don't know if we name names.
Yeah, I tried to keep it of generic.
Well, actually, there were names in there
of the ones that I think really were
instrumental
in our life. I think I referenced Ginger a good bit, who discipled me in college, and she was one of the first I call them the church women that I finally. I feel like they just loved me for me. I mean, I walked into a church 19 and pregnant. My dad was kind of known throughout. And so it would have been hot gossip and hot thing to talk about for me to have walked in that way. And they just took me in and loved me. And they kind of renewed there was a group of women at that church, and was in Mobile, Alabama, that renewed my I guess, spirit for church women. And here I am, you know, leading the church women. And so that's why I'm very passionate about that and how we treat others and how, you know, I messed up royally and they loved me. And are we doing that same thing with those around us?
I think what you're giving us is a lesson on how to deal with other people when you want to try to help them. And sometimes, Brad, like you say, less is probably the best thing for those type situations. They know that you care about them. You're there. And I've always thought that the written word, if you can write down something, and you had that happen, and if they can explain to you some of the things that, you know, that they feel that may be worthy of you hearing and things like that. But there's something about a letter that you know when somebody takes the time to do it, that it really means a whole lot. It's almost, I love the sound of the voice, but sometimes I love to sit and read something like that.
I still have probably in my mom's garage about two or three bins full of letters that we got from all over. People we didn't know. I mean, that heard about it and just, letters poured in, and that was,
we read every one of them.
One of the,
going through that. I mean, we'd sit out at night and just go through them. I mean, it really helped. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, I remember my brother was killed when he was 18 years old by a horse in an equestrian meet, and we receive letters from all over the country. It's unreal how people respond. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Brad and Casey.
How many avenues have you taken but still keep coming back to the road asking yourself, how do I find my purpose in life? Have you ever set goals for yourself and lacked that extra oomph to see them through? If not, it's time to start. If so, what has kept you from achieving them? I'm Jean Jenkins, and I'm a certified Christian life coach. I can help you find your passion and purpose, help you attain them, and hold you accountable. Maybe you lack the self-esteem to do any of the above. I have the desire to help you see your worth, passions, and goals in life. Through life coaching, you can build a greater self-esteem so you can approach life with a determination to pursue your goals with inspiration and a burning desire to achieve them. You'll expand your possibilities through accountability. In the end, you'll be inspired, motivated, and willing to step out of that box that's constrained you so you can reach your goals with a greater love for yourself. For more info, go to findingyou.com. That's findingewe.com. You can't take care of other things until you take care of yourself. Start off the year by investing in you.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Make a difference for children with special needs by running, walking, or crawling across the finish line for the third annual Special Kids Race, presented by Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. Registration information can be found at specialkidsrace.org. Join one of Murfreesboro's largest races on Saturday, March 22nd, and choose between the 15K, 5K, or 1 mile distances. Registration is live at specialkidsrace.org.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back with Brad and Casey Ewan. And unfortunately, we've run out of time. But Brad, give me a little insight on your church, your minister, and what goes on over there.
Okay. New Vision Baptist. 1750 North Thompson, is that the address? NewVisionLife.com. And we just love this church. We love our pastor, Brady Cooper. He has a unique way of sharing the word. He's very honest and just a down-to-earth person. There's no pretense. You just love people, love Jesus, and trying to get the word applied into people's lives. We love it. We have Wednesday night programs, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. Casey and I do, it's called Fight Club for men and women, and the guys kind of go in one section, the ladies go in the other section, and just talk about the Bible and how it relates to biblical manhood is what we're going through. And the women are doing boot camp, going through a chronological study of the Bible right now. And it's just a great place to connect with people, learn about the Lord, and we love it. I mean, we're very excited for the days ahead and to be here at New Vision.
I tell you what, if someone's listening and they have never experienced anything like this, I think your place, New Vision, is an excellent place to go. And after everybody has listened to your story, it's just it's mind-boggling to me how important what you guys do. And Casey, I hope your book takes off. Now I'm messing over you right now because I'm letting a lot of people use the book, my book, so they can't put it down. I want you to know that, and I do want you to know that I did not see anything that needed to be corrected in the book at all. Melissa McCullough messed my book up entirely by going through and lining through it. I do want you to know
we're
that.
We're
going
to have to get you a new book with no marks in it.
Yeah, I have to. Any last word?
Just thank you for letting us come, and hopefully it's just a blessing and people find strength in the Lord.
And the book. God is enough. And where can they get the book?
Her website, KaseyEwing.com. They can get that there.
Okay. Sounds good. Great show. Thank you. We'll see you guys in the morning at 9 o'clock.